Now, bevacizumab, of course, is not approved for recurrent ovarian cancer, but it is used quite extensively in an off-label situation. Also, we've seen quite dramatic responses to bevacizumab in patients who have ascites or pleural effusions. And even if the tumor may not shrink to solid tumor, sometimes the bevacizumab dries up the pleural effusions or the ascites, and consequently patients are avoided toxicity of having paracentesis and thoracentesis, and that's a quality of life issue that is important. So bevacizumab, I think, is going to be an important adjunct to treatment of this group of patients.
Now, in the advanced disease non-label situation, are you mainly using it as monotherapy or with chemotherapy?
Well, in advanced disease in previously untreated patients, some patients do not want to participate in a GOG trial because they do not want to be randomized to the control arm. They want the bevacizumab. So 2/3 of the patients will get bevacizumab either as maintenance therapy and chemotherapy or just with a chemotherapy, but 1/3 will never get bevacizumab in a trial. So some patients feel that they don't want to participate because they don't want to have the chance of getting the placebo. And, you know, I don't know how many patients are able to convince their insurance companies or convince their doctors. I suspect it is happening. We've had patients certainly come to us and say, well, they don't want to participate in that trial. They want to go for paclitaxel, carboplatin, and bevacizumab.
And if a patient were to say to you, cost is not an issue, I'd like to be treated with bevacizumab in this situation, would you treat the patient off study?
Understanding that there may be the risk to treatment, I certainly would think that's a reasonable approach.
And again, which of the arms do you think you would follow?
So I for sure would use it with the chemotherapy because that's where it's been shown to be effective in other solid tumors. But because of the single agent in a GOG study, it also had such a long stabilization disease in many patients. I certainly would not have any problems if the patient was tolerating the treatment, continue with a, again, cost is no object, and that's easy to say because it is an object in many patients that use some maintenance therapy for a while.
Yeah, it's been difficult. Of course, we've been dealing with bevacizumab in lung and colon, breast, renal cell, and obviously the cost and reimbursement is always an issue, but we're also trying to sort of distill out the clinical science.
Right.
What do we know about angiogenesis and VEGF specifically with ovarian?
Well, we've looked at microvessel density, and we've looked at those factors which we think are predictive of possibly response to VEGF, and there are prognostic signs. It's hard. People are looking at blood vessel flow and some of that technology with the MRIs is giving us some hints, but I think angiogenesis is an important factor in ovarian cancer, and I think that the bevacizumab, if I had a bet, I would bet that the bevacizumab trial will be positive.
Interesting. What else has been seen in terms of side effects and toxicity with bevacizumab, the usual hypertension, et cetera?
Right.
Anything else unusual?
I think some of the vascular phenomena you can still see, but it's primarily the hypertension.